Now we come to the fourth part. And again, we have two choices. We have John 20, and we have the other text in John, which is earlier. It's John 15, which is our Lord talking about the paraclete. So we'll do our best to touch on each of these, but it'll have to be brief. Huh? When it was evening on that day, the first of the week, and the doors were closed where the disciples were, because of the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, Shalom. Peace. I've already stressed this word quite a bit, haven't I? Peace means the presence of everything that ought to be there. That's why in modern Hebrew, Ma Shalom Ha, how's your shalom? Shlomito. Everything's going fine. All the relationships, see? Or I could say, Hine, Eshalem Lecha, here I'm paying back my debt. I'm making everything, I shouldn't be in debt, so here's the money I owe you. And that's the same. It's to establish peace. Comes from the same root. Okay. So he comes in, you see, and he says, Shalom to you. In saying that, he shows his hands and his side to them, and they rejoiced. And says again, peace to you. As the Father sent me, so I send you. That's remarkable, isn't it? You are going to be sent just like I was sent. Your job? To save the world. Now, I've already saved it. All you have to do is spread my salvation. I must tell you a funny little story on myself. I was at a prayer meeting, and we were talking, praising him. And I said, when are we going to get down to business? I mean, pray for the world. I was kind of getting... And the Lord said to me, you'd do anything to save the world, wouldn't you? And I didn't have a vision, but I kind of knew he was there smiling. I said, yeah, just tell me what you want me to do. And he said, well, I already saved the world. Put me in my place. But he set me up for it. So gentle. Anyway, peace to you. As the Father sent me, so I send you. In saying this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you hold the sins of any, they are held. Powerful. You see? Now, the interesting thing is that the word that, in saying this, and Ephesians said, he breathed. That's exactly the same word that's in the Septuagint, that is the Greek translation of Genesis 2, where he has Adam in his hands, he just formed him, and he breathes on him and gives him life. Now our Lord breathes on them and gives them new life, life of the Spirit, in a new way in the church forever. The Holy Spirit is present now. You see, our Lord had to rise from the dead and transform that humanity. From that transformed humanity can come the Spirit into other humanities. So it follows on the resurrection. You see. So, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you hold the sins of any, they are held. Now, this is remarkable. What does this mean? Well, there is, and I'm going to take you on a little bit of a journey so that you can see what this means. Forgive, that's pretty easy, because that's the regular word for that. Huh? Afieni. If you give, they are forgiven. And if you hold, they are held. Two different words there. Now, binding and loosing means, I tell you what I'll do. I'll read you the conclusion first, and then we'll go back and look some more at the data. The expression bind loose indicates an exercise of authority whose exact import depends upon the context. It can apply to a body of elders whose authority is clear because of a traditional mode of recognizing authority within a religious tradition, Judaism. It may refer to legitimizing or invalidating a private decision whereby you can hold the person bound or you can loose the private vow. It may refer to sin and forgiveness, as in, for instance, the Aramaic translations on Genesis. I'm going to read one of those later on. The Matthean text in Matthew 16 and the disciples, most of those texts, both of those texts refer to sin, which is awesome. A human being saying, I can free you from sin. That's why when they let that man down through the roof and he's crippled, and our Lord says, courage, my son, your sins are forgiven. You say, sins are who is this? Nobody, because the word for forgive in Hebrew only has God as its subject. Salah. Never has any human being. So they're thinking, who is this guy? Nobody can forgive sins but God. Then he says, all right, what's easier to say? Get up and walk, or your sins are forgiven. Now, you might know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He says, get up and walk. And the guy gets up and walks. He unbound him in two ways. And this is what's going on here, you see? So, this is, it means both. Huh? Now I want to go back and review that. Why? Well, I thought it was a good time because sometimes these texts are disputed or not taken seriously. Okay. Peace to you, and he breathes on them, okay? Then I mixed up my papers, but I can get them back. Okay. He showed his hands and his sides. And again he said, peace. The Father sent me, I send you. That includes freeing people from the burden of sin. I can't free anyone. I can't even free myself from the burden of sin. Christ does it. I can't absolve myself anyway. I have to go to confession. But Christ does it. What a gift. What a gift. And so, now, he breathed on them, gave them the Spirit, and then there are these texts. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Binding and loosing are other words for forgiving. Again, in Matthew 18, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then, in this text we have right here, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you hold the sins of any, they are held. And now, the terminology, as you see, is a little bit different, but it's the same thing. In Job 42, we read all Job's so-called friends are telling him, you must have sinned. My gosh, you must have sinned. Look at the mess you're in. That only happens if you sin. Job kept saying, look, I know that God is better than this. I have not sinned. I don't know why I'm suffering like this. And I'm appealing directly to God. And when God finally shows up, Job is wonderful. God says, well, where were you when I made the mountains, Job? Can you make a crocodile? So finally Job says, in the beautiful translation of Knox, once again I have spoken the word I fain would leave unsaid. I repent in dust and ashes. Because God says to him, are you trying to justify yourself by proving me wrong? You see? But then he's restored sevenfold. Okay. Now, just some examples of this terminology. This might be boring, but it helps understand the foundation for the authority of the apostles given to the bishops. The bishops share that with priests. So, when you sin, you pull down the holiness of the church. I think I told you this once before. I was in a group of youth. One of the girls said, I never go to confession. I mean, you know, I could just tell God my sins. I said, you belong to a church. Don't you realize that? When you sin, you pull down the holiness of the church. She just began to weep. Oh, then sin is awful. I said, that's why the Lord gave us this binding and loosing to the bishops, huh? Who can delegate it to the priests, okay? In the Jewish writings, in the Babylonian Moed, Katan, a blast of the horn binds, and a blast loosens. Okay. I just want to point out the same terminology. A man, a son of 13 years, he's 13 years old, when he shall have vowed a vow before Adonai, or sworn an oath to be bound to abstain from something which is allowed him, he shall not relax his word unless the ruling body, the Beit Din, release him. But if they do not release him, whatever has gone out of his mouth, he shall do. Now, the most famous text to give us an idea of this binding and loosing is in Genesis. Genesis 4, starting with verse 6, the text, the Hebrew text says, and Cain said, and then there's a blank. Something fell out of the inspired text and it's still out. And it's earlier than the Septuagint because it's out of the Septuagint too. Cain says, let's go out into the field. They go out into the field, and Cain said to Abel, his brother, come, let the two of us go out into the open field. And Cain said, from that point on, to Abel, his brother, that's the gloss put in, the Targum translation. And it happened that when the two of them had gone out into the open field, Cain answered and said to Abel, I see that the world was not created by love and is not led according to the fruits of good works, and that there is acceptance of persons in judgment. For which reason was your offering received with favor and mine was not received with favor? And Abel says, because I see that the world was created by love. And they have this big argument, you see. And they're having this big argument, and soon, Cain stands up and slays his brother. Now, in the first letter of John, it has, you know, hatred is murder. So let not us be like Cain, who murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his works were evil, and his brother's works were good, relying on this translation, on this tradition. Now, in other words, we now know what binding and loosing means. It means determining who can partake of the liturgy and who can't. If you're in mortal sin, you can't take full part of the liturgy. In the Eastern liturgy, we give the sign of peace and recite the creed at the same time. As it says there in the first letter of John, this is the commandment, that we believe in him and we love one another. Now, I think I've told you this before. The man I used to concelebrate with, and then when I celebrated myself, he always added a little bit at this point. This is where everybody who has hatred against somebody has to leave. And that we sing, the doors, let us attend in wisdom, and we recite the creed. So if you can't believe, and you've got enmity, you got to get out. We're not going to go on till you leave. So they go. Being good, you know, Middle Easterners, they act out their stuff. So they're going out, the guy's, it's because of you I'm going. So then you try to reconcile them. Because this other fella, hating, can't come to church. He can come and listen to the first part of the Mass. But as soon as we get to making a confession of faith and sharing the Eucharist, they gotta leave. So all the work we're doing right nowadays, folks, is old-fashioned. You got to be a Christian in the full sense of the term to be there for the Eucharistic liturgy.